Okay, so Rashi and Ramban, so they have that, generally, they have this methodological debate. Ramban will try as hard as he can to say what? That the events of the Torah occur according to the chronological order, right? That Perek Aleph comes before Perek Beis becomes Perek Gimel. When it's absolutely impossible, because then he's stuck. It's like in Sefer by Midbar, there's something where he has to say the events are out of the order, because you can't do anything with that. But Ramban will try as hard as he can to say the events of the Torah occur. Okay, we got two chairs here, okay? According to their chronological order. The Rashi will be free to sometimes say that no, sometimes the events of the Torah, we have to give him some more showing for you too. The events of the Torah sometimes occur out of their chronological order. What? Okay, fine, sure. Okay. So sometimes they come out of their chronological order. So this is one of the more famous examples of the debate between Rashi and Ramban. But even some of us who may know this debate, I want to delve in deep as to how Rashi and the Ramban understand not just when the Bnei Yisrael said Nasa v'Nishma, but what was Nasa v'Nishma according to Rashi, according to Ramban. I think that their debate is not simply a when, but their debate fundamentally is very different. They have fundamentally different approaches as to what the famous Nasa v'Nishma, you know, of the Bnei Yisrael, their acceptance of the Torah were. So when did the Bnei Yisrael, how you study this in school, when did the Bnei Yisrael say Nasa v'Nishma? When did they say Nasa v'Nishma? What's the simple answer?
Before
the Torah was given, right? So the general understanding is, right, Hashem asked Bnei Yisrael, will you accept the Torah? They say Nasa v'Nishma, wonderful, great, right? What's the problem with that, according to that story? Is that what it seems to say in the text? Right, so it's in this week's Parsha. Okay? So it's in this week's Parsha. So what we're going to do is we're going to read this week's Parsha, a little bit of this week's Parsha, the end of this week's Parsha, right? Mamad Har Sinai happened last week's Parsha. That's Yisroel. We're going to read the last chapter in this week's Parsha. We're first going to read the Ramban, who gives the Pshat, simple reading of the text. Then we're going to see how Rashi understands it. We're going to see what motivated Rashi to disagree with Ramban. And then I think what the most interesting part is to try to flesh out how Rashi understands Nasa v'Nishma and how Ramban understands Nasa v'Nishma. Okay, that's our goal tonight, okay? We'll try to do it in...
Isn't it
yeah.
Sure.
No, yeah.
Isn't it the Ramban misunderstanding of Rashi? Because the Rashi came about 100 years before.
I don't know if he misunderstands him. I don't think he misunderstands him. I think that Ramban fundamentally...
disagrees.
But I think Ramban has a... Rashi will feel free to say that I don't care how the events are recorded. If there's a thematic reason, if there's a thematic reason to say it's recorded out of order, or if there are enough questions, Ramban will try as hard as he can to say no, the events occurred according to their chronological order. And even if there are some questions, he will push for that methodology. Rashi will not push. It's not an issue of misunderstanding. It's an issue of how we understand the text. When the Torah, there's, you know, sometimes you read a book. So some books generally go according to chronological order, generally. But sometimes, right, when there's some books maybe for a thematic reason, they're going to record the events out of order. So how do we view the Torah? Okay. So again, so let's read this. So El Moshe Amar, I'm going to read this pretty quickly. So to Moshe, God said, Amar, Hashem said, go up to Hashem. That's interesting language. So that's a whole discussion. Was God said, go up to Hashem. Is he speaking in the third person? What is this Hashem? What does this mean? We're not going to discuss that, but that's an interesting phrase into itself. You, Atav, Aron, Nodav, Avihu, Vishivim, Bezikne, Yisrael, Vishtach, Vishimirachok. So I want you, Hashem says to Moshe, you, Aron, Nodav, and Avihu, and the 70 elders, so you're going to go up to God, and you're going to bow from the distance. V'nigas Moshe levador l'Hashem, v'heim lo yigashu. Moshe is going to come even closer. They will not come close. In other words, I guess there's Moshe, then there are the who's next? I guess there's Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, and the 70 elders. And Ab lo yalu imo. So seems to be three levels, right? You got Moshe, Aaron, yeah?
I know it's not important, but it's interesting that Yeshua is not included.
Right. Yeshua's like Moshe's personal assistant, more of like a personal assistant. And it's an interesting question, like how he rises to the top. But that's an interesting question, right? It is an interesting point. So the And also, by the way, when even more so, no. So I'll tell you, Benaiah, I'll tell you that what's interesting is also when Moshe goes up for 40 days, he says, "Me, anyone has an issue, you go to Aaron and Hur." He doesn't even say Yeshua. It's almost as if, you know, sometimes you have like in school, you have a principal, you have assistant principal, but then you have like the principal's personal assistant. It's almost like Yeshua is like he's not a leader for the people. He's a personal assistant. But then of course in Bishalach he becomes the leading.
They've been very young here.
I don't know. I mean, but he also leads an army in Parsha Bishalach, right? Yeah, last week's Parsha, he's leading. He's right. He's also leading an army. So yeah, it's a great question. It's a great thing to think about. You know, Yeshua's role in all this. Okay, let's continue. So it says V'yavo Moshe. And Moshe comes, V'yasaper la'am, it's called Divrei Hashem. He tells the people all the words of God. V'yaskol mishpatim and all the mishpatim. V'yad kolam kol achad, and all the people answer and they say, kol et v'rmashir Divrei Hashem, now say everything that you said, we'll do. Oh, okay. V'yachtov Moshe, es kol Divrei Hashem. So Moshe writes all the words of God. V'yashkein baboker, and he wakes up in the morning, next morning. V'yiven mizbeach tachas ha'ar, so he builds this altar, this mizbeach, and he builds shtei masriya, Matzival, okay, 12 stone, I guess, 12 stone monuments, I guess. Vayishlach es narei b'nei Yisrael. Vayalu olos vayizbichus vachim shalim l'shem parim. Okay, so now they're offering sacrifices. And then vayikach Moshe chatzi adam vayaseh bagonos. He takes some blood and he puts in some basins. Vachatzi adam zerach mizbeach. He sprinkles some blood on the mizbeach. Vayikach sefer abris. He takes this book of a covenant, by Krabazayam, he reads it in front of the people, in the ears of the people. Vayomru, here's the phrase, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Nasev Nisha. Everything Hashem said, Nasev Nisha, we will do, and we will listen. Oh, by the way, what that means is also an interesting question, right? You're probably familiar with the notion of Nasev Nishma in the future. Might be everything that you told us in the past, Nasev and Nishma in the future. Like what Nasev Nishma means is also interesting. Well, we have too much to cover, but that's an interesting question. Okay. So, Vayikach Moshe es Adam, and Moshe takes the blood, so they agree, right? You with me? Okay. Vayizrok Ala'am, and he sprinkles it on. By any time I'm speaking, feel free to pass the food, ask people for food. It's not an interruption, it's all good. So, Vayizrok Ala'am, he sprinkles it on the people. Vayomer, and he says, Hinei Davavris, this is the blood of the covenant. Asher Karas Hashem Rachem, that Hashem entered with you. I'll call Dvar Ma'ela. Vayal Moshe, Aaron, you're not taking any chol. You're good? Okay, now how are you? Oh, just come for the Torah. Wow. Okay, so nice. Okay. And he says, right, and he says, okay, so Moshe goes up with Aaron, Nadav, and Abihu. And then we talk about Vayiru, they see the God of Israel and under God's feet, some strange vision, which is interesting unto itself. Vel atzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach Hashem. Hashem did not stretch forth his hand to the leaders of the Jewish people. Ve'yachazu as Elokim. And they beheld God, Vayochlu Vishu, they ate and they drank. And then we have another few psukim where Hashem tells Moshe, Alei Alei Al Hara, go up to the mountain, Ve'yei Sham, and you should be there, and I'll give you the Luchos, so Evan, and I'll give you the Luchos. Okay, so let me just summarize sort of the first few psukim here. Okay, Hashem tells Moshe to go up to the mountain with the others, but Moshe will go further than the others, right? Moshe told the Divrei Hashem and the Mishpatim to the people. Their response was, Naaseh, we're going to do it. Moshe writes the Divrei Hashem. He sets up a Mizbeach. Moshe reads this book, the Sefer Abrit, and everyone said, Naaseh v'nishma. Moshe sprinkles the blood, which is a symbolic act, concretizing the covenant, and the people eat and drink. And they have this new section where Hashem says, go up to the mountain. So let me ask you a few questions. What do you think when it says that, so Hashem says to Moshe, go up to the mountain. Okay. Now, Moshe told the people, Divrei Hashem and the Mishpatim. What do you think that is? What are the words of God and the Mishpatim? What do you think the words of, what are these words of God? What are the Mishpatim? Let's assume this is like chronological, right? Ramban says this is chronological. I don't know if we're going to hold Ramban, but Ramban says it's all chronological, right? Well, what are the Divrei Hashem? So Rabban says everything is in order. After Matan Torah, Hashem's. So, what, anyone remember what Hashem after the Ten Commandments? What was next? What happened next after the Ten Commandments? According to the Torah,
you got
Mishpatim. So, by the way, there's a little piece before that. At the end of Parshas Yisro, any laners there? End of Yisro. So we have the end. There are these laws about don't make statues. right? He says, God says, was it Kol Samara B'nei Israel? I came for you from heaven. Don't make Elohei Chesed V'Hesov. Don't make statues even to serve me. So you got a little bit of that. And then we have Nezikin. Then we have all the parts of Mishpatim. Right? So then I would assume that what's Divrei Hashem? Maybe Divrei Hashem, right? The Ramban writes this in the next section. He says that immediately after Hashem said to Moshe, Kol Samara B'nei Israel, Temer Isam, Kimei Hashem Dibarati Yerachem, Don't make any silver or golden statues of me. And then he tells about, and he commands about Elam Mishpatim. So the simple understanding, maybe we'll do more of the Rabbana outside, but I have the source for you here. We'll see. We'll go back and forth. But the simple understanding is, Moshe tells the Divrei Hashem and the Mishpatim to the people. What's the Divrei Hashem? Probably the end of Yisro and the Mishpatim, the laws to the people. And he told them that. What was their response? Naseh, we agree. Right now, as Hashem told Moshe this stuff, Moshe told to the people, they said, Naseh, we agree. And then Moshe wrote the Divrei Hashem. What do you think the Divrei Hashem are? What do you think the Divrei Hashem? Moshe now wrote the Divrei Hashem. What do you think it is?
Torah.
Well, until what point? What, the whole Torah? You mean even after?
No. Like what happened before, like from
Bereshit
to...
Ah, so Rashi's going to say that. The Ramban says... He says, in the middle of this, the Moshe Kasab Yomahu, sort of in the middle of this, about like nine lines down, he says, Moshe Kasab Yomahu is Sefer Koma Shenitz Tava Chukim Mishpatim V'Torot. So Moshe basically, he wrote down exactly that which they said Naseh, right? In other words, Moshe told them, right, Aser Sedebros, and then he told them the post Aser Sedebros stuff, and he told them the Mishpatim, and they said Naseh. So now Moshe wrote it down. Right? Then he set up a Mizbeach, and then he read this whole declaration to them. He read this whole Sefer Abrit, which was, according to Ramban, was the laws that he gave, the Mishpatim, and what do they say? Naseh v'nishma. So why do you think he sprinkles the blood? What's the purpose of sprinkling the blood now? What do you think why would you sprinkle the blood after that point?
They're making a new brit.
They're making a covenant. In other words, right, they agreed to accept all the mitzvot. Okay, it's a symbolic act of the brit and the people eat and drink. Anything wrong with eating and drinking at this point? What do you do after you make a brit? What do you do after you make a brit?
Breakfast.
You celebrate. You celebrate. You eat. Right. You eat. In other words, you eat. You eat after you. Even in bris milah, you have the bris. You have a mitzvah, right? You celebrate bris. I think when Lavan and Yaakov. Right, when they made their brit, they ate afterwards. Okay, now there's...
How much did you write? When you say like you wrote, like how much, like what is like encompassing? How much?
So I think the Eilam Mishpatim, Parshas Mishpatim.
Right.
In other words, they heard Aseres HaDibros, and then Hashem told them some of these other laws, and of Yisro, told them all the laws of Mishpatim, and then Moshe said, you're going to accept all these mitzvos?
Right.
And they said, yeah. Okay, so let's write this down, let's make it formalized. Boom, Naseh v'nishma.
This seems to be...
Right.
So because he went to sleep. You know, he did all that, and then Vayesh came a boker.
So the next morning.
You know, have a good night's sleep.
Right, he had a good night's sleep, so he did the next morning, right. So they did this whole thing. The next morning, so the next morning, he wakes up early, and then now they have this whole celebration. They have this whole ceremony, public declaration, big celebration. That's the way the Ramban understands this, okay? You can read inside, but I wanted to move on a little bit. Rashi then, and this seems to be the simple understanding. And then, after they do this whole thing, then Hashem says to Moshe, remember I told you to go up to the mountain? Now I want you to go up to the mountain, okay? He said go up to the mountain, but like, before you go up to the mountain, let's do this whole ritual, make sure they agree, and now Hashem's, okay, now it's time to go up to the mountain, okay? So maybe Rashi's bothered by that. Rashi's like, maybe Rashi's here, like, why is it time now to go up the mountain now? Maybe wait till they do this whole ceremony. But Rashi says, already in Parshas Yisro, it says, Uvachamishi, and on the fifth day of Sivan, are there no cops ever has anything? Okay. On the fifth day of Sivan, Bana Moshe Samizbeach Tachat Sahar, Ushtem Sematseva. According to Rashi, when did Moshe build this Mizbeach? When did they have this whole thing? On the fifth day of Sivan, the day before Matan Torah. Kol Hainyan Hamor B'Parshas Ve'Elam Mishpatim. Everything Rashi says in last week's parsha, everything that we're reading here in this chapter, at least the first few psukim in this chapter, until the end of this parsha, took place on the earlier Vein bukta mukhabar Torah. And I don't like to say there's no order in the Torah. There is an order in the Torah. I think I like to say ein bukta mukhabar Torah means that sometimes the Torah records events out of order for thematic reasons. Right? So Rashi says this is an example of this. And in fact, in this week's parsha, in here, Perachav Dal Pasuk Aleph says, "Vel Moshe Amar Ale, Parsha Du Nemra Kodem Aseres Adibros Varba B'Siva Nemar Lo Ale." So, according to Rashi, on the fourth of Sivan, Hashem tells Moshe to go up to the mountain. That's what's going on now. And then he apparently, what does he do? He tells the Divrei Hashem and the Mishpatim to the people. They said, Nasa, and then he went to sleep. The next morning, on the 5th of Sivan, they made all these sacrifices, and they said, Nasa Vidishma. Okay, that's how Rashi understands this. Now, according to Rashi, what are the Divrei Hashem or the Mishpatim? Right, Ramban is pretty straightforward, right? Mishpatim and the Mishpatim. And as Ramban is pretty, in this sense, Ramban is much smoother, right? Because they finish the Aseres HaDibros, then we have this. We got the end of Yisro, the Divrei Hashem, like no golden or silver statues, right? And then Mishpatim are the Mishpatim. What do you think? What's called Rashi? What are Divrei Hashem? What are Mishpatim? Right. So Rashi has to deal with this. So first of all, okay. But actually, before you can turn the page. Before we go that, I think I brought you the Bar Tanura. So the question is, why would Rashi say? Like, what motivates Rashi to say the events were out of order? Right? Like, why would he say that? So there's this, I don't think he's Orthodox. There's this biblical scholar, a really smart biblical scholar named Robert Alter. He's like an expert in literary genius, and he has some interesting pshatim. But he says something, but I don't have to quote him because the Bar Tanura said it before him. But he actually is a literary genius in terms of interpreting text. I don't study him, but I saw that he said something, but actually, and people quote him, but the Bar Tanura said beforehand. What the Bar Tanura says is, if you want to say, at this time, Hashem said to Moshe, go up to the mountain, what should the Torah have written? What would be in Hebrew? Hashem said to Moshe, go up to the mountain. What would you say? Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Alei El Ahar, right? What does it say? Well, how's the Torah begin? What does it say? At the Moshe, he said at some point before. So he wants to say, so even before Robert Alter, the Bar Tanura actually says this. So he says, the Mashema Amar Kvar, he said at some point beforehand. That's maybe one hint to Rashi, why he likes that. There's also, Rashi also taught, also in this discussion, in our parsha in Mishpatim, right, Hashem says, okay, there'd be like three stages, right? Moshe, you're gonna go the furthest. And then the next level, you're gonna have Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, and the 70 elders. So like in between, they're gonna go close, but not too close, right? So that maybe you can explain in Shmos Yotess, right before Aseres HaDibros. So Hashem says to Moshe, tell the people like don't mess up. V'gam haKohanim haNigashim el Hashem yiskadashu. And also the Kohanim are gonna get a little bit close. They shouldn't get too close. What do you mean, Kohanim? Where do we find the Kohanim if they get a little too close? Like all of a sudden. The Torah brings up this idea about the Kohanim who are going closer. That's sort of consistent with what we see here. So it's a little bit of evidence, maybe. Also, it's also a little interesting if the question, where was Moshe? It's another interesting question. We're not going to get into depth. But like the understanding at this point in Perek Dal, Chav Dal, Pasuk Aleph, was Moshe at the top of the mountain or the bottom of the mountain? The bottom. Why? He said to go up the top of the mountain. So, right. So, what happened? You know, it seems that after the Aseres HaDibros, Moshe seems like he's on top of the mountain, and then Hashem tells him stuff at the end of Yisro. He tells him the Mishpatim, and then he says Al Moshe Amar Aleinu Ay Harar. But isn't he already at the top of the mountain? So maybe that motivates Rashi.
Also, like this is not necessarily part of this parsha, but the fact that the Egel HaZahav is mentioned in Kitisa, which is even later.
Right.
It's part of the same narrative that might be also motivating Rashi and others to say that maybe this whole narrative is just not out of order. It's just not in order.
You're saying once the Egel is not out of order, this is also not out of order.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's part of the same narrative.
That's a question. I don't know whether you're right or not. Meaning, what Benaiah is saying is that then that probably the more famous don't know if this is more famous than the debate between Rashi and Rabban or the Egel Azav. That's another famous question, which is, was the Mishkan commanded before the sin of the golden calf or as a response? So the question is, are their positions consistent with each other? I don't know the answer to that. I have to think about that. I don't know if the answer to that. Never thought of that. I'm not sure if they're consistent or not. Okay. In any case, so now, but according to Rashi, what are the divrei Hashem? What are the mishpatim? So Rashi, he has to stumble a little bit. I don't stumble. But it says, and I have here in Perek Chavdal, Pasukim, what's divrei Hashem? What are the words of God? Mitzvahs prisha v'agbala. What is divrei Hashem? Don't get too close. In other words, the mitzvah refers to, like, the rules about not getting too close to the mountain, right? What are the mishpatim? So now he says, sheva mitzvah shinav ben noach. He told them, the Shev Mitzvah Ben Noach, because that was going before. And also, Shabbos, Kibbutz Avim, Paraduma. There are some laws that they learned in Mara. So basically, Rashi said, I would say he's fumbling a little bit. That's not one of his stronger points. The Mishpatim are not really the Mishpatim. They're like the Divrei Hashem, okay, the Mishpatim, maybe the seven Noachide laws, and some of the other things that were commanded beforehand. But now, to what Natan said, what did Moshe write down? He wrote down, Mibreishit Van Matan Torah. So according to Ramban, what Moshe wrote down were the mitzvos, and Bnei Yisrael said Nasa v'nishma about the mitzvos. According to Rashi, Moshe wrote down from Bereishis until Matan Torah, and the Bnei Yisrael said Nasa v'nishma from Bereishis to Matan Torah. They have to think about that. Now, one, yeah.
Lashon in the actual pasuk is Vayechtov Hashem Kol Divrei Hashem, all the words of Hashem. I feel like if he was writing down from Bereishis to Matan Torah, that's more. It's not only Divrei Hashem; that's just an entire story. The fact that pasuk says that Kol Divrei Hashem, I feel like that must mean that it's got to be commandments.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Kol Divrei Hashem means all the what we call the Torah up until this point. That's a Divrei Hashem. You think Divrei Hashem are you say a Divrei Hashem is a mitzvah as opposed to. Okay, yeah, we're going to see that maybe this is a, let me ask you a question. From Sefer from Parshas Bereishis until Yisro, that's not Divrei Hashem? God command, no, I understand. It's not what we classically understand it, but the point is that, right, the Torah is not only a book of mitzvos. It also teaches you philosophy, teaches you stories. So I'm saying it's a broader definition of Divrei Hashem. That's fair. Okay. So let's go a little deeper now. So first of all, Rabbi Liebtag has a nice shot. I'll just throw that in there, which is he says he wants to say according to Rashi, why are we recording if everything happened earlier? Why are we recording in two different sections? Again, this is not what I want to say. I want to say something else. But it's an interesting point. And there's according to Rashi, if everything really happened. Right, earlier, why are we mentioning two different places? So what Rabbi Liebtag says is that the description of Mamad Har Sinai in Parshas Yisro is one of fear. Right, there's thunder, lightning, sounds, people are scared. So that's a Yira aspect of Matan Torah. And here, what is it? They're eating, they're drinking, they're karbados. Like, it's more of a celebration, it's more Avas Hashem. So maybe to highlight the different aspects, so we want to confuse them, so he wants to mention them separately. That's what he wants to argue. But let's talk about what's the nafkamina between Rashi and Ramban, how they understand. So first we're going to do a basic nafkaminas and then a deeper nafkamina. Okay, so one interesting question is, did you ever hear, did people eat inappropriately at Matan Torah? You ever hear about that? Anyone ever eat inappropriately during Matan Torah? And Hashem was upset at them? And a little bit of that. So there's a Rashi. So there's a Rashi which says, "Ve'el atzile b'nei Yisrael." Rashi says, "Chavdal yadav, not of an aviyu and zakenim. Lo shalach yadav. God did not stretch forth His hands. Why? Because Hashem ruim lishalach b'hem yad. Because Hashem should have attacked them, but He didn't want to do it. Why? Ve'chzul alakim hayu mistakim lo b'leiv gas. They were trying to look at God, whatever that meant. Mitoch achilu shtiyah. They were eating and drinking. See, according to Rashi." It's because it's called Rashi. Rashi understands if the Nasav and Nishma experience was before Matan Torah, so there had to be this feeling of reverence. It's not a time to eat. So therefore, according to Rashi, it was inappropriate that Nadav and Avihu ate, and some say they were punished later on for this. it was inappropriate what they did. The eating and drinking was inappropriate because it was before Matan Torah, right? As opposed to, say, Rabbeinu Bachaye, he compares the feasting. Do you know what he compares the feasting to? The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur after the Avodah. What did he do? He made the big feast. Yeah, well, how could he eat Yom Kippur? But he compares it to the feast after Yom Kippur, after the Avodah. So this is like a technical point. Was the feasting appropriate or inappropriate? According to Rashi, maybe it was inappropriate they ate or drank because it was a time of Yira when they said Nasa V'Nishma. According to Ramban, it was after the experience and they're celebrating their acceptance. And just like, you celebrate with a meal, that's totally fine. And Rabbeinu Chaya, backs that up. Okay.
So what did Ramban say about what Hatzile Yisrael Lo Shalvei? What is that?
That I'm not. What did he say here? Let's see if it has something here. I don't think he makes this diuk, this inference that they should have been killed. I don't think he says that. I have to look at that. I don't think he just says. I probably have to continue reading on a little bit, but he doesn't say, like, he never mentioned that he should have died. Like, he never says that. He says, "Vel atzilei b'nei Yisrael." One second. Maybe even though they experienced, maybe that's referring to when they saw the quote unquote the feet of God, whatever that meant. So Hashem, they were still able to experience that. In other words, not that they did anything wrong. No, Rashi, he didn't even. There's what. Maybe, what I mean, again, I have to see what he says. I try to see if it says anything here. But was it that they looked? Did they eat? The Ramban never says that the eating was a problem. Okay? So, another question, a fundamental question. Now, here's a fundamental question. And then we'll get into four approaches and we'll finish with that. What was Nasiv and Ishma corner Ramban? And what was Nasa V'Nishma according to Rashi? Let's do it easier first. Ramban, what are they accepting? What are they accepting according to Ramban? What are they accepting? The mitzvot, right? They're accepting the mitzvot. Ten commandments, they're expecting the mitzvot. If according to Rashi, what are they accepting? What are they accepting?
Bereshit.
Yeah, from Bereshit. So what is that? What is that?
That's just stories.
Yeah, so what do stories tell you? God's rule
the world.
God's rule the world. Like they're buying into not the they're accepting not the mitzvos but the purpose. They're buying into the story. They're buying into where they're coming from, what their destiny is. Right? Now, there was Nasa V'Nishma an acceptance of Torah and mitzvos. Oh, I said Torah. Torah is a broad term. Divrei Hashem is a broad term. Was Nasa V'Nishma an acceptance of observance of the mitzvos, or was Nasa V'Nishma an acceptance of their story, their connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and their destiny, right? Was there the fact that they are a Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh? In other words, was it about the Tachlis, we're to keep the mitzvos, or we buy into the purpose, what's behind it? Now, obviously, both are important, but what is highlighted? Rashi highlights the purpose. Rabban highlights the mitzvos themselves. And I think that there are four ways to understand, and we'll finish with this, the debate between Rashi and Ramban saying Nasa V'Nishma. Number one is, maybe you could say, very interesting question, like what's the best, what kind of emunah do you want? Do you want emunah pshuta, or do you want emunah amuka? Do you want to simply say, I believe, I accept, without knowing what you're accepting? Is that better? Or is it better to know a bit about what you're accepting before you accept it? What's better? I don't know, right? Okay, there's plus and minuses. According to Rashi, they said Nasa V'Nishma, they're accepting before they even knew that Sarah said they're broke. We love your marketing campaign, God. We love the story, right? We love our mission. We're in. Emunah Pshuta, simple faith. Ramban is like, we want to hear some stuff. No, I want to hear the mitzvos. Tachlis, right? So one could be unbelievable. One could be unbelievable faith. You can look at it as more simple, and one is more grounded. I'm not taking a position what's better, what's worse. I think according to Rashi, the Amuna was Amuna Pshuta. According to Ramban, it was an Amuna Amuka, deeper Amuna. Another way to look at it is that, like I said, according to Rashi, it was a commitment to the story, the destiny of our people, the covenant of Avraham Avinu, Mamlechas Kohanim, or is it a commitment to observance of mitzvos? The details, and the complexity of everyday life. You think about it, right? I buy into, I love to be a Jew. I want to be a Jew. That every little aspect of my life must be shpatim. The day-to-day drudgery, this happens, and your ox scores, my ox. I'm going to follow the, you know, okay, I'm a big picture guy. But I'm going to keep all the details, right? But you got to buy it. You can't just worry about the minutia. All these people, they care about the minutia, they don't care about the big picture, right? I mean, we need both. But the question is, what was the acceptance? What was the commitment? Was it the minutia, the day-to-day? Or was it the purpose, right? Debate Rashi Rabban. And there's one more way of looking at this, is the last two. It's really like two that are four. See, there's a Gemara on Krisus which says that we learn the laws of Gerus, conversion, from Latin Torah. And the Gemara wants to say, where is the Mila? Where is the Tefillah? So there's maybe sprinkling of blood. So the Gemara calls the whole discussion Gemara Masechus Krisus. But without going into details, there's a question. What is conversion all about? Is conversion about believing, like when someone wants to convert? If this is the paradigm, what it means to convert, is the goal really to believe in the story? Like, I want to join the Jewish people because I want to believe, I want to be part of the story, the destiny of our people? Or is it living a life of mitzvos? Right? And another way to look at it, similar aspect, is what's the critical element of conversion? Is it experiencing the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the intimacy? Or is conversion living life of mitzvahs? So I just wanted to finish off with this. This is more of a halachic, technical halachic point. The Shulchan Aruch, I brought you the Shulchan Aruch, it's really based on Tosfos the Rosh, and he says that kol inyanei hager, every aspect of the convert, bein lohodio hamitzvos, whether to inform with the mitzvos, lekablan, to accept them, whether the mila, tefila, you need judges. You need judges who are there to hear the person make a formal declaration that I am going to accept mitzvos. He highlights that is a critical component. The Rambam has a little bit differently. The Rambam's formulation is a little bit different. Obviously, the Rambam holds it. You have to accept mitzvos. But the Rambam says in Hilchos Serbia, Perek Yigim Alachadal, V'chein L'doros, because Yirtzer Akum, when a non-Jew wants lihikanes labris, to join the covenant, ulehis tofev tachas kanfei shechina, and to be under the wings of the divine presence, via kabbal of old Torah, and they'll accept the old Torah, so then you need milah and tefillah. You don't actually need a basted for a formal commitment to the mitzvos. You just need someone to be to want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to live a life connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think this debate between Rashi and Ramban, you know, ain mukta mukha b'Torah. So again, you could look at it in terms of technically why Rashi didn't want to follow the simple understanding. But I think that Rashi and Ramban understand Mamad Har Sinai or Nasa V'Nishma so fundamentally different. Obviously, both are important. But what is the critical element? Is it the mitzvah? Is it the mitzvah observance? Or is it the destiny, the story of the people? Was it Emuna Pshuta? Or was it Emuna Amuka? Obviously, studying both position highlights the necessity for both in our lives. And we should try to be Zocha to... You can pick a side, but obviously both are very important. But I think it's fascinating. Their debate really, really, really sharpens how we understand what the commitment of Klal Yisrael was at Mamad Har Sinai.